And welcome back to KSFR's Wake Up Call, 35 and a half after 8 o'clock. I'm Tom Trowbridge. And MK, it can be overwhelming for many to find time outside busy life schedules to become politically active. But it may be easier than you think. So now let's launch the discussion. We have guests in studio, and they'll be adding their perspective on their newly learned tips and tricks about what they recently did to become politically active.
That's right. Thank you so much, Tom. And we're really happy to have you even join in on this conversation, because the legislature is your beat. And so we're, you know, just to start off, if you don't mind, Tom, I'd like to ask you a few questions as we're going to bring in our guests, and then we'll have a full blown conversation, maybe perhaps with everybody. And I just, the thing I'd like to ask is, if I want to get politically involved, how do I even begin? Where do I begin?
Well, from a legislative perspective, a great place to go is the legislature's website, and that is www.nmlegis, L-E-G-I-S, so nmlegis.gov, and right, say you don't even know who is your representative, you can click on the tab that says legislators, and right under there it says find my legislator, and below that, find my legislator tutorial. So it's relatively easy to do. You can become initially involved that way. Of course, if you want to become politically involved, you should register to vote.
Right, and you can even get on the website and track your legislators' bills and also how they vote, correct?
Exactly, yeah. You can find out what committees they are in, their district. You can look up the district maps. There's a wealth of information on that website. There's podcasts. There's webcasts of current meetings, and then they have the saved meetings from the past. Podcast meetings of the past for by every committee, by every floor session. Basically, you can cover and do a lot of legislative watching at nmlegis.gov.
nmlegis.gov, that's the key. So now, joining us today is, again, a wonderful group of young women that were here last week. And this is a follow-up because, basically, they got very politically active. And you may be surprised to know how old these folks are, but I'm going to let them
tell
you.
I'm wondering if they are a voting age.
We're going to find that out shortly. Okay, with me is Ami Pyburn.
Hello.
Ellie Wexler.
Hi.
Gina Trentacosta.
Hi.
And Amelie Romero. And they are from the Santa Fe Girls School. And they got involved this year. Now, do you guys want to tell us a little bit about the bill that you got involved in advocating for? And I'd like to also let the listeners tell them how old you are, starting with you, Ami, and then we'll go around. How old are you?
I just turned 14 a few weeks ago.
All right.
I'm 13.
I'm 13.
I'm 14.
14. All right. So here we go. Now, if you guys know more about politics than those of us driving down the road, it's a little embarrassing. So we're going to, but you're here to help guide us and tell us what you did to get politically involved and even what inspired it. What inspired you to get involved?
So we go to the Santa Fe Girls School, as you mentioned, and at the Santa Fe Girls School, the teachers really make sure that we know what's happening in the world. And a lot of us had the response of kind of, this is so awful, or this needs to be changed. And because we had that attitude, we were able to do something about it. And our teachers kind of helped guide us into the political world.
Mm-hmm. And you actually chose the topic you wanted to look up and advocate for, correct?
Yes, we did.
And how did you go about doing that? Did you all vote on that, or did you research the topics and then?
Yeah, we voted because our teacher gave us a big list of several bills that were going on, and we unanimously voted for House Bill 133 regarding affirmative consent.
And Amelie, you weren't here last week. Do you want to give us your rendition of what you think that bill was about? Actually, you know what? There's a little, yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay, so I think that the bill is basically around the idea that during a sexual activity, yes means yes. So it's really important that both parties agree that whatever they're about to do is completely fine with both of them, and that really avoids any misunderstandings or assumptions.
Right, and this consent, it's officially called affirmative consent, and so if people hear that out there in the world, now we know what that means, thanks to you guys, and it also has to be, the consent has to be ongoing and enthusiastic, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, I would also just like to add that this is a bill to add affirmative consent to public school health education classes, making it a graduation requirement for any students starting in fourth grade and going through college in public schools.
Thank you. See, this is why you're here, to help educate us.
And also, even though it does start in fourth grade, it's age appropriate for each age group. And so you're not going to be talking in depth about sexual activity in fourth grade, but you're going to be talking about more physical activity that friends might do, like hugging and just personal boundaries. And then as you get older, that's when it would start to get a little bit more, you know, about sexual activities.
Yeah, it's more teaching that your body is a private thing and you get to decide what happens to your body and who gets to touch you.
Right. That's and also it's about improving communication, correct?
Absolutely, mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk about how you got involved in the legislature and what that was like. What was, say, step number one in beginning your involvement?
Well, kind of what we did first was we chose the bill that we were going to be involved in. And we started off by writing a letter to our representatives, and that eventually turned into sort of a little speech that we were going to say on the committee floor, and that's kind of how it all got started. So.
Okay, and do you all, anybody want to add it? Yes.
And it's really, anybody can get involved. What we did was we wrote letters, and the way that we talked in committee, in the education committee, is we wrote little paragraphs and we edited them. And then when it was in committee, we were asked, does anybody support this bill? And we stood and we spoke our little paragraph. And it's really helpful to have support. So anyone can do this if they just come up with a paragraph, edit it, and then find somebody to come with them.
Mm-hmm. And was it, were you a little afraid or intimidated when you first started out?
I was expecting to be more nervous, but once I got in that room and I stood up, there was really nothing to be worried about. And also, I wanted to add that it wasn't just the four of us, it was our whole class who did this. So it was even more, you know, it made an even bigger difference because it was 13 of us.
It was 13. And we made a difference. Legislators really like to see who supports something and who doesn't. Because there's a lot of bills and they need to know what people like and what people don't.
And also, a lot of the legislators are sort of tired of hearing from lobbyists, so it was, I think they really appreciate it when kids come out and speak on the committee floor. It really gives them perspective, I think.
Yeah, or anyone, not just kids.
Yeah, Tom, did you have any thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I just wanted to add that, indeed, legislators do want to hear from the not only kids, but the general public, the constituency. There's tons of lobbyists. There are many, many lobbyists at the roundhouse every session with their vested interests and pushing their bills. But when they hear from citizens, that really kind of raises their eyebrows and gives them makes them listen a little more closely, I think, because eventually they're up for re-election.
That's right. And we put them where they are, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And now, how about the idea of, I just lost my train of thought. I'm so sorry, folks.
There's so many bills. There's you have to really kind of track them, where they're going, what committee they're before. And again, if you have a bill of interest to you, contact your legislator, your state senator, your state representative. It's easy to do on that legislative website. But again, this also goes for local government, city governments, Santa Fe County, for instance, the county commission. They take up important issues on a regular basis. Santa Fe City Council as well. Everywhere in the United States, you're under several governmental jurisdictions, and it's important to know who those people are. Who's your city councilor? Who's your county commissioner? Who's that point of contact? Reach out and express your issues of concern.
Yeah, absolutely. And did you feel by getting involved that you guys now that made an impact in your own life as you go forward, that you feel the importance of being politically involved? Amelie, did you feel that it made an impact in your own life for how politically active you might become?
Well, I think just going into the roundhouse was kind of overwhelming at first because there was just so many people, and we even got to meet the governor. And so I just got really excited because our class really did make a difference in this bill. And I really got excited about how easy it was to really get involved and how important it is to really get involved. So I really came to that realization.
Yeah. Anyone else want to add to that?
Also, well, I was just going to mention this earlier that at the beginning of the show, Tom mentioned how one of the best ways to get involved is voting, and clearly we're not at that age yet. And so similarly to what Amelie said, it kind of shocked me how easy it is to get involved and really make a difference.
And it did make a difference on the vote, right?
It did, yes. People opposing the bill saw us when we spoke in committee, and they actually got up and left because they didn't want their vote counted as opposing. They didn't want to go against us, basically.
Yeah. So if we think kids don't have a voice, you just showed them, right?
Yeah.
That they can. And there are many issues that affect kids, right?
Oh, yes. And this is a bill that directly affects kids. This would be our future. This is our generation that it's concerning. And it's really important to us, at least, because if our whole generation is educated, then we have a less likely chance of being sexually assaulted and more of a chance of being believed if we are. This has just been a really important bill for us.
Yeah, and apparently you all voted unanimously. Did we cover that already?
Yes.
Did you talk about that? Okay, sorry about that. I want to say, if you're just interested in a topic, you can get on the legislature website and just look up a topic and see if there's any bills related to that topic. I'm doing that myself. I'm looking up a story on informed consent for medicine that is prescribed to people. They need to have informed consent. So I say, is there a bill in there for that? Yes, and sure, there it is. So you just look it up. And so again, I just want to give that website away. It's nmlegis.gov, nmlegis.gov. Anything else that you guys want to add to that you feel like is important that you wanted to talk about today? Or,
well, there has been quite a bit of opposition regarding House Bill 133, and I think we could just talk a little bit about what people are saying about it. And
yeah, there are a few really strange complaints, in my opinion, about this bill. For example, some people say that support for the complainant, which is part of this bill, would lead to false reportings. So that basically means, like, if the person who is accusing someone is believed more than they are right now, then it's going to lead to a lot of false reportings. And I don't see the connection between House Bill 133 and more reportings, because the whole point of this bill is to clear up communication. And so you really couldn't falsely accuse someone, because this bill makes it 100% clear if it's yes or no.
Well, and one argument that I found, like, interesting, kind of, is the argument that affirmative consent would ruin the mood of sex. And I've even heard that within my own generation or even in my group of friends. And the way I see it is, it's when it comes to sex, what's more important is that both parties are okay with it than there being a mood. And that's my... I find it really funny when people say that, because it's really more important that both sides are okay with it other than sex having a certain mood assigned to it.
Right, that's a very interesting idea, this of a mood. I mean, if both parties are there, isn't the mood right? They're both consenting. I would say that would be the proper mood one would want to be in. Is there an alternative? I'm not sure. Anyway, go ahead.
And this mood we see is something that we've kind of been taught through social media and through a lot of kind of TV shows and movies. But the truth is, this mood doesn't really exist. Like, it's not always like that. And if somebody's not feeling safe, then it is more important to stop and maybe ruin the mood and see what's going on. Because it's more important that both people are feeling safe than this mood happening for one person.
Yeah. Anything else anyone wants to add to that? You know, I just want to, as all of you are kind of getting your thoughts together, again, I want to encourage people to also get on the phone and just call your legislator. That's another easy thing that people can do.
Yeah.
And you can find their phone numbers, once again, at the nmlegis.gov. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say that another issue that some people have with the bill is they believe that it will normalize prostitution. And I'm not quite sure how people got this from House Bill 133, but that this is not at all what this bill is doing. They believe that because we're talking more normally about sex, then it's okay for prostitution to happen as long as two people say yes. But that is not the point of the bill at all. The point is just so that two people who would already be in sexual activity, and both people who have a relationship, just communicating and making it safer and healthier and just a lot more enjoyable for both parties.
Yeah, and to add on to that, another argument is that if we start talking about sex education or consent more in schools, then that will lead to teens having more sex, which just isn't true, because this bill is just really focusing on the education part and increasing communication in teenage relationships. And I just wanted to add on with that.
I would just like to add that sex education in public schools now, it still talks about sex. Health class still talks about sex. What this bill is just doing is adding the communication aspect to it, which is probably the least sexiest part about it. So there's really nothing that's making sex more normal. It's just making communication more normal, and not the gold standard, but the basics and what needs to happen before any sexual activity or even touch can happen.
Did you want to add to that, Ami? No. Yep, okay. And Gina, did you have any thoughts?
Well, the whole point of this bill is kind of just to inform everybody and just to create a safer environment. It's not about encouraging sexual activity. It's just about informing people about it just so that people will feel safer and that the community will be safer as a whole.
Sounds good. Now, let's talk a little bit. I'm very glad to hear that you're also able to look at the other side, right? Because that's important anytime we look at an issue, is look at all sides and consider. It sounds like you guys have considered the other side. You just simply disagree with it. Of course, there's people out there that are disagreeing with you, and they could be listeners out there right now.
Yes. Yeah, and when you contact your legislators, you can go either way. You can say, I support this bill, or I do not support this bill, and some reasons for your argument. So it's really, you don't have to support a bill. We're not saying that you have to support this bill. What we're trying to do is educate so then you can make an educated, good decision based on what you know so that you can get active in the community and get politically active.
Yes. Ami, did you want to add to that?
Well, I've been sitting here thinking about more of the arguments, and we even saw some in person when we spoke in the education committee, and also when it went to the House floor. Yeah, House floor. I saw a lot of pushback from people that was also worried about this increasing talking about sex and increasing teens having sex. And they were saying, I'm a mother, so would I be able to take my kids from this class? Or would parents be able to sit in on this class? And I think that mostly ties into the worry about increasing sex in the teenage community. And that's really not what this bill is about. It's really just about protecting our generation and generations to come.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it will change it sounds as though it would change the entire landscape of how we talk about sex. Yeah,
that is the hope. Yeah,
that's the hope. And it's not, the mass media seems to talk quite a bit about sex in terms of music videos and things like that. I would think that is, in a sense, far more. What are your ideas on that? I'm curious. Do you think the mass media sort of promotes sex more than, say, some program like this might?
Totally. This is what we see every day is way more than we're getting from the sex education. And one thing that the media is doing is setting that mood, that expectation that there's a mood that happens between two people, and if you talk, you ruin it. So I think that could be a big reason why we're getting a lot of pushback on this bill, because we've been taught this is what sex is. It's everywhere. There's some ads that just kind of, in a way, are like sexy ads or whatever. And so we think that is the expectation for sex. But we're not realizing the communication aspect of it. And we're not recognizing that or looking at that at all. So it's just not good, because we're seeing sex without communication.
You know, and we are going to have to bring things to a close. I want to thank you all so much for joining us again today, and hope to have you back. And I do want to say that any school teacher can get involved in the legislature with support. Brian E. Goff's office created a, quote, speakers table, unquote, program. You can contact his assistant, Julia Barnes, at jhbnm1@gmail.com. So contact eGolf's office if you want to get involved. And thank you all so much for joining us today.
And that wraps up Wednesday's Wake Up Call. Many thanks to all my guests and contributors. I'm Tom Tropridge. Have a great Wednesday.
Support for KSFR programming comes from PNM, working to move beyond fossil fuels. With a goal of becoming 70% emissions-free by 2032, PNM is proposing to close the San Juan Generating Station, replacing coal power with renewable sources, including wind and solar. PNM is working toward a cleaner environment for this generation and the next. To learn more, visit pnm.com/forwardtogether.
Explore the power in story through the Academy for the Love of Learning's 3-part workshop. The series guides participants through a personal and collaborative journey and introduces best practices for story sharing in community and work settings. Join the Academy for the first workshop in either the first week of March or May. For registration and scholarship information, visit aloveoflearning.org or call 995-1860. A message from the tax-exempt Academy.